Good morning. Greetings to you all this morning. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer request. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask for your guidance and your direction upon our lives. Pray for wisdom to continue on the path that you've set before us. Pray that you keep us from straying, warn us, correct us, and show us what we need to know to do your will. Each and every day, Lord. Pray for the brothers in other countries. Pray for the brothers in Mexico, Josue, Lord, Jessica. Pray for Jefferson in Peru, brothers in Colombia. Just pray that you continue to help those that are in need, Lord. Pray that you use us to be a blessing to those in need. I believe this week in Psalms 114. Psalms 114 in the Septuagint. I have loved, because the Lord shall hear the voice of my supplication. For he inclined his ear to me, and in my days I shall call upon him. The pains of death surrounded me, the dangers of Hades found me. I found affliction and grief. Then I called upon the Lord's name. O Lord, save my soul! The Lord is merciful and righteous, and our God has mercy. The Lord is he who watches over children. I was humbled, and he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, because the Lord showed you kindness. For he delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from slipping. I shall be well pleasing before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that's all in the psalm. All throughout the Psalms, we have comparisons between difficulties and hardships and afflictions and grief and God saving, being merciful and righteous, and restoring hope and encouragement to people in difficulties and distresses. It seems like that's a reoccurring theme all throughout the Psalms, over and over again. And probably one of the biggest motivating factors in the lives of the people who wrote the Psalms. They weren't just people that just decided to sit down and write a song one day. It was a result of difficulties and hardships being overcome by the help of the Lord. And all throughout the Psalms we see accounts and testimonies of people crying out to the Lord when everything seems hopeless. Here's one more good example of that, where it says, the pain of death surrounded me, the danger of Hades found me, I found affliction and grief. And it says, then I called upon the Lord's name. It just makes you wonder how many hardships and how many things were taken away before it got to the point where he even called upon the Lord's name. But it came to the point where the only thing left was left to be saved was his soul. And he called out on the Lord's name and said, O Lord, save my soul. When all else was lost, when everything else had been taken away, when death surrounded him and Hades bound him, when he was in affliction and grief, and there was nothing left but just his soul. Then he called out on the Lord's name. Then he said, O Lord, save my soul. And the Lord was merciful and righteous and had mercy. And one of the things that came out of this was being humbled. He said, I was humbled and he saved me. And maybe one other thing that was a fruit of this misfortune or difficulty that the songwriter wrote here was rest, humility. And another thing that was mentioned right at the beginning, it says, I have loved because the Lord shall hear the voice of my supplication. So in all these difficulties and distresses that are mentioned here, the goodness or the fruits that came of it were, at the beginning, love. Also, the virtue of being humbled, finding rest, and even having his feet kept from slipping. And last of all, it mentions being well-pleasing before the Lord in the land of the living. If these are the virtues that you want in your lives, if you want to learn to love, if you want to be humble, if you want to find rest, if you want your feet kept from slipping and be well-pleasing to the Lord in the land of the living, you might have to face the pain of death, the dangers of Hades, afflictions and grief, and come to the point where you learn to call out on the Lord's name. O Lord, save my soul. So Lord bless you all. Go ahead and do your lesson.
Sign for this week was to get something about idols, and I thought of in the Old Testament where it talks about Daniel was going to prove to King Nebuchadnezzar that the serpent he had been worshiping wasn't a real god, and so Daniel mixed tar and Daniel boiled tar with hair and fed it to the serpent, and the serpent burst open, and then Daniel said, Look at the gods you have been worshiping.
I got Ezekiel 14, 1 through 8. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, and because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone in the house of Israel, or the strangers who dwell in Israel, or who separates himself from me and sets his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble to iniquity, then come to a prophet and to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I'll cut him off from the midst of my people. Then ye shall know I'm the Lord.
The Philistines stole the
ark of God and put it in the room by Dagon, and left, and the next day they came back and Dagon had fallen over, and they set him back up and went away and came back the next day, and he had fallen over and broke off his head and his hands. And then they wanted to get rid of the Ark of God because there was plagues and mice and stuff.
Jacob's wife, Rachel, when she got married, she took from her father Laban, she got from his house, she took the idols and hid them in the tent under the camels' saddles. And so then she was sitting on them, and then they came to look for the idols, and then they couldn't find them.
Captain Naaman went and fought with the Israelites, and he took home a girl captive to be his servant, and he would worship idols, and she wished that he could follow the Lord, and then he got leprosy, and she told his wife to send him to the prophet, and the prophet told him to go wash in the river, and he did, and then he was gone, and then he didn't want to, because he said, why couldn't we just wash in any other river, but then he washed in the Jordan, because his men said that he should, and so then he got healed, and then he prayed to God after that.
In 1 Corinthians 10:14, it says, my beloved, flee from all idolatry.
We had the same thing the little boys had. I had a verse in Leviticus 19, verse 4. Do not follow idols, nor make for yourselves molten gods, for I am the Lord your God. An idol is anything that'll turn your focus from God and onto something else. And one idol that can put me astray is my strength and my health.
I was thinking about the verse, let no man think of himself any higher than he ought to think, but let each man esteem other greater than himself. And I thought of Christ, how he came and he died for everybody as a servant to mankind. And if we are not willing to do that ourselves, in the same way that Christ did, then we have no other choice but to serve an idol. Whether it be ourselves, lifting ourselves up, or whatever we choose to serve, but if we don't pursue love for our brother and fellow man like Christ did, then that's our only choice.
I thought about how idols are just, idols can be anything that would just that you would like better than God, or that you would be more interested than in following the Lord, and maybe it would be a lot funner or whatever, or a lot more interesting, but you just, they're idols, and we just shouldn't be that way.
Leviticus 19:4. I am the Lord your God. Do not follow idols, nor make for yourselves molten gods. So God didn't want the children of Israel to make idols. He wanted the children of Israel to follow him.
I got Psalm 113:12-16. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have a mouth, but they shall not speak. They have eyes, but they shall not see. They have ears, but they shall not hear. They have noses, but they shall not smell. They have hands, but they shall not feel. They have feet, but they shall not walk. They shall make no sounds with their mouths. May the men who made them become like them, and all who trust in them.
I got 1 John 5:21. It says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. And an idol is anything that we would want to pursue more than God.
Okay, for next week's lesson, both for the younger boys and the older boys, find an example where something good came out of difficulties and hardships, either in your own life or the Bible or somebody you know.